And the recording has also been restarted at 8:59.
Okay. So we'll just take a pause and wait till 9 and then we'll start. My clock says 9. Does yours?
It does.
Okay. We'll call to order the informal hearing for Armando Rivas, PTA, case 2345. Is Mr. Rivas on the call with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Mr. Rivas. Are you represented by anyone?
No.
Okay. All right. So what we'll do, Mr. Rivas, I've got a script I want to read to make sure you understand how an informal hearing goes. And then we will give you a chance to provide a statement. And then the board will most likely ask you some questions. Once those questions are finished, then we'll deliberate. So let me read through the script. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions: issue a decree of censure, place restrictions on a licensee's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specific continuing education. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there is no violation of the board statutes or rules, the case may be dismissed. If the board finds the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of the license or certificate, the board may vote the matter to a formal hearing. At this time, Judy, would you call roll, please?
Yes. Dr. King.
Present.
Dr. Bustillo.
Present.
Mr. Leone. Absent. Mr. Greer.
Present.
Mr. Barton.
Present.
And for board staff, Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Ms. Crowley.
Present.
Ms. Cardoza.
Present.
Ms. Sinish.
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius.
Thank you. Mr. Rivas, please introduce yourself. And if you'd like to make an opening. No, first of all, Mindy, I want you to give us a summary, please. I'm sorry. Would you give us a summary of the investigative report, please, Mindy?
You bet. This is case 2345, Armando Rivas. Mr. Rivas was arrested, charged, fingerprinted in Pennsylvania for DUI, unsafe driving, careless.
Mindy, sorry, I need to interrupt you. I need you to just swear in the witnesses.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Richardson and Mr. Rivas, please hold up your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Mr. Rivas?
I do.
Thank you. Dr. King?
Okay. Mindy, do you mind giving us a summary, please, of the investigative
report? Of course. Mr. Rivas was arrested, charged, and fingerprinted in Pennsylvania for DUI, unsafe driving, careless driving, and disregarding a traffic lane on or about November 5th, 2022. Mr. Rivas denied that he was arrested for these charges, stating he was stopped for a traffic violation. He further stated that he did not receive any documentation from the Reading, PA state police officer at the time of the stop. A search of public records revealed that Mr. Rivas was arrested and fingerprinted on 11-7-22, and despite multiple attempts to obtain additional information from Mr. Rivas during my initial investigation, he did not fully comply, and it appeared that he had not been truthful to the events surrounding his arrest. The board reviewed this matter at the July 20, 2023 meeting. In his statements at the initial review in July, Mr. Rivas continued to maintain that he was unaware that he was arrested and charged with DUI. He states that it was late at night and he was unsure why he was being arrested and that he had not read the arresting documents. As a result of Mr. Rivas' statements during the proceeding, the board requested the police report be obtained. That report was received from the attorney representing Mr. Rivas in the Pennsylvania matter and was included in your review materials for today's meeting. The police criminal complaint or affidavit of probable cause states that Mr. Rivas failed the field sobriety test, refused the portable breath test, was arrested, and refused the blood test at the police station. The current status of the court proceedings was obtained via public documents that were accessible. It appears from those documents the disposition hearing occurred on July 5th of this year in Pennsylvania Criminal Court, and that at that time the case was moved to the Court of Common Pleas. The court docket also reflected that Mr. Rivas would be eligible for the Pennsylvania Accelerated Rehabilitative Disposition Program, ARD program, for first-time offenders. That hearing was scheduled for August 14th, but appears to have been moved to November of 2023. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-7, conviction of a felony, whether or not involving moral turpitude, or a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, ARS 32-2044-8, practicing as a physical therapist or working as a physical therapist assistant, when physical or mental abilities are impaired by disease or trauma or by the use of controlled substances or other habit-forming drugs, chemicals, or alcohol, or by other causes. ARS 32-3208, criminal charges, mandatory reporting requirements, both A and B. And finally, ARS 32-2044-18, interfering with an investigation or disciplinary proceeding by failing to cooperate, by willful misrepresentation of facts, or by the use of threats or harassment against any patient or witness to prevent the patient or witness from providing evidence in a disciplinary proceeding. This case is for your review.
Thanks, Mindy. Mr. Rivas, would you like to make a statement?
Good morning to the board. I'm just here to answer whatever questions or anything that, I mean, you guys have the documents in front of you, obviously, and we've had prior meetings before. If there's any light I can shed on the events, I'd be willing to answer anything as honest as I can with whatever information I have.
Thank you. Board members, would you like to ask Mr. Rivas a question?
Mr. Rivas, this is Mr. Greer, and the thing I can't figure out about this case is what happened on the night you were arrested in Pennsylvania. I know we've had this discussion before, but now that you've been sworn under oath, can you tell me what happened and what's the current status of the proceedings in Pennsylvania?
We have that follow-up court hearing on the 20th of November. They're going to see, because obviously when I was stopped and I didn't get documentation and everything, I wasn't aware of exactly what was going on. So after that, after multiple court hearings, they have notified me that you don't need a blood test and or breathalyzer to be told that you're driving under the influence. So as of right now, my attorney says if nothing's overturned or whatever, they're going to look for to possibly get the ARD program that was mentioned before.
So let's talk about the night you were, you had your encounter with the police. What happened?
To be frank, like I told you before, I didn't know. It was very late at night. I can't recall very much of what actually happened the night of, other than getting put into the back of the squad car and taken down to the station.
Okay. So you do remember being put into the back of the squad car and being taken down to the station?
I remember that part, yeah.
Okay. Is there any reason why you don't remember the rest of what happened?
Probably because it was late and I was driving a long time that day.
Had you consumed alcohol or any other substance at that time?
Earlier that day, I did.
How long before the interaction with the police?
I'm not exactly sure. Probably a couple hours, I would say.
And what did you have alcohol or some other substance?
It was just alcohol.
Okay. Is there a reason you refused a blood test?
I do not know, sir.
Excuse me?
I do not know why I refused them.
Okay.
I do not even remember refusing them, so.
I believe you originally told us that you were only stopped for a traffic violation It sounds like you understand that this is significantly more than a traffic violation now. Is that a fair understanding?
So initially, because I got no documentation, obviously you would guess if you had an offense such as, you know, a DUI, you would get some form of documentation or something. Nothing was given to me. There was no information given to me. So I figured it was just a traffic violation. I didn't get any documentation until I believe it was the date of March. I can't remember what day, March something, when I had already moved back to Arizona because I had to go to Pennsylvania because I was going through a divorce and I didn't have a home at the time. So I was homeless.
And your presence in Pennsylvania had nothing to do with your practice of physical therapy, correct?
No, sir. I'm not licensed over there. I'm not anything. I just, like I said, I literally had no home, no place to stay. I was a homeless vet. The only place I can go is my father's house.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Rebus, it's Kelly King. Have you had other situations where you've had total memory block of experiences?
Sometimes. I mean, after my military experiences, it happens.
Can you share another example of when you were, I'm reading the police report that we got, right? And you were not only put in the squad car, you were taken to the police station and fingerprinted, and yet you're saying you can't recall that. Can you just give us another time in your life where something as significant as that, you don't recall any of the details?
I don't know. I mean, certain stressors and stuff, like I said, being through combat and stuff, there's a lot of times you kind of black out and you don't want to remember stressful situations. I guess it's maybe a protective mechanism. I couldn't give you like an instance because obviously it just blacks out.
So at what point did you know that you had been fingerprinted? When were you?
So when I got that documentation in March, and that's obviously when I figured something's going on, hence why I retained the services of an attorney and everything. I had no idea what was going on because that incident happened in November. I wasn't hearing anything until March about it.
Are you currently practicing as a PTA?
Yes, ma'am.
Full time?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I got kids and court costs and everything to cover, so I'm doing what I can.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Rivas? Okay. Ms. Rivas, do you have any final statement for the board before we go into deliberation?
I'm sorry for any confusion I've caused or any delay I've had. And if, you know, there's any information, I know I'm going through a lot of turmoil in my life currently, but if there's anything else that's needed, I'm willing to answer with what information I have as always.
Thank you. Okay, at this time we'll go into deliberations. I would just ask that.
I'm sorry, Kelly, can I ask one question based off of that?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Rebus, is this like the turmoil that you mentioned that this event is part of? Can you tell us how it's affecting your practice as a PTA or if it is?
No, believe it or not, practicing as a PTA is possibly the sole thing that keeps me above everything. Like, I'm sure the ones I know that have practice, it's definitely, you know, a blessing when you have someone, you know, overcome whatever obstacles or hardships they have and progress. It kind of, you know, eases your stress and builds a better mind on you, you know, helps you out. So if anything, the practice is what keeps me, you know, going and motivated to, you know, be a better person, be a better clinician in life.
Thank you, Mr. Rivas.
Kelly, I'd like to ask one follow-up question as well.
Sure.
Mr. Rivas, in the past 6 months or so, would you recall any other instance of memory lapse that's happened?
In the past 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rivas. All right, board members, we will go into deliberation. We have three allegations to consider whether they are substantiated. Are there any questions about the details of the investigative report or the substantiation of the, actually there's four.
There's four.
32-2044-7, 32-2044-8, and then A, and then 32-2044-18.
Dr. King, I really hate this case because I feel that if Mr. Rivas had been a little more forthright with what happened, you know, this probably would have been a letter of concern or advisory letter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really disappointed in how this case, you know, Mr. Rivas's forthrightness with regard to the investigation. And, you know, the reason we're here is because I think we all knew what happened, but Mr. Rivas was telling us that something else happened. And now it appears that he finally either understands, remembers, or is admitting to what we all suspected happened at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think there's evidence to support the violation of 32-2044-8. And while I think I know where the Pennsylvania court will probably go, I think we can probably get rid of 32-2044-7. But I do think the evidence supports a violation of ARS 32-3208 and 32-2044-18. And so, you know, where I would like to go, and I'm happy to make a motion, but I don't want to cut off the discussion, is I think we do find a violation of those. I think we issue a disciplinary order. We adopt the findings of facts, find that they meet the conclusions of law, and we issue a disciplinary order. I don't think the discipline's much. You know, I'm thinking a decree of censure, a civil penalty, and that's really kind of it. But that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I appreciate you opening the dialogue. I just want to go on record that I'm, you know, it concerns me that that's a significant event not to remember any details, you know, and it makes me just in my mind, is he truly fit for duty if he's got these, if something stressful happens, he totally blacks out. So that worries me if it truly was a blackout or if it was just him refusing to actually talk about the details and own them. So that's where my mind is at. I agree with you. I think disciplinary order is warranted. This is, you know, this has gone on way longer than it needed to. It's created a lot of work for everyone because of the unwillingness of him to have a conversation and actually just be accountable and talk about what happened and help us get the materials. We had to have orders to get the police report, you know, and things like that. So I agree with you. I don't know about a penalty because I know he's already stretched, but I do think that I'd actually like to see him retake the exam. I don't think he understands some of the pieces around being a PTA and what that's like. And I'd also like him to take some CEUs on ethics. So but that's, I'm just throwing that out there, but you know, from my perspective of looking at the big picture of this and we look at all the different moving parts. Karen, what are your thoughts?
I also appreciate, Josh, your initial discussion on what we should and shouldn't look at in terms of violations. And I am in agreement with Kelly. I was going to talk about that after she was finished, but she made the suggestion for the AZ law and ethics. And I believe that ethics is very, very important in this case. Because it's not just this, it's a bigger picture. And I would like to see Mr. Rivas show that he has a good understanding of the right and wrong.
Mr. Barton, any thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm along the same lines. Listening to the conversation today, if I take as true everything that Mr. Rivas says, it still leads me to wonder, you know, how somebody could recall being arrested and fingerprinted and not think there was something more than a traffic violation. I mean, I don't know that I'm a terrible driver, but I've received tickets enough in my life to know that it would be very uncommon for me to be taken out of my car and arrested. And that's, I think, what concerns me more than anything else. I think what Mr. Greer said is correct, right? If this was just came to us as a DUI, it would have been relatively straightforward. And there's a process to deal with that, and it would have been, a minimal problem. And what concerns me here is that, we're now at an informal hearing. We've been discussing this for a very long amount of time, and it's taken time and all to prove something that I think Mr. Greer is right. We all kind of knew was correct at the beginning, or at least suspected, even though we didn't have all the evidence in front of us. So that concerns me. My inclination is, it is more along the 32-20-44-18 line. I think that's the most clear violation we have. And to be honest, I'm really torn because what I see here is a lack of honesty. And I'm just not sure. We can order ethics classes, but to be honest, ethics is not going to teach honesty, right? That's just something you either are or are not going to do. And so, that leads me to lean kind of more towards Mr. Greer and say, look, maybe what we do is we just say, look, this is a disciplinary decree and maybe some kind of a civil penalty to make clear that this is, this is not acceptable. You got to fess up to what you do. And if you fess up, it's an easy, easier process, much easier. So that's kind of my thought process.
Thank you. Mr. Greer, do you want to make a motion?
I'll give it a try.
Okay.
I would move that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law as they relate to the violations of ARS 3208 and ARS 32-20-44-18 as stated in the investigative report. Mr. Harris, is that sufficient?
It is. Thank you.
Need a second.
I seconded. Sorry, I was on mute. Dr. King, second. We have a motion and a second to adopt findings of facts and conclusions of law. Judy, you want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the allegations and potential violations as set forth in the investigative report as findings of fact and conclusions of law, including ARS 3208 and 32-20-44-18.
Before I vote on this, Mr. Harris, do we need to dismiss the other allegations, or are they just implicitly dismissed?
That's correct. You don't need to dismiss them outright.
Okay. So for the vote, Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
I would move that we issue a disciplinary order where we issue a decree of censure. We order the licensee or the certificate holder to retake the jurisprudence exam. I'm going to go with my initial evaluation. We issue a civil penalty in the amount of $500. Mm. And that concludes my motion.
Second. Any discussion?
If we could just get clarification with respect to the civil penalty, the timeframes in which to pay that, as well as completing the jurisprudence exam.
6 months to complete. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Are there any priors? I guess we probably should have asked for that before.
Prior DUIs?
Prior violations of the practice.
Yes. Prior disciplinary orders, Mindy?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, thank you.
One other point of clarification. So 6 months, does that 6 months constitute a probationary period?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
With early termination, of course.
Okay. And the motion did not include any continuing education.
It did not.
Okay.
But if I get two no votes, I'm not opposed to adding it.
Can I go back? I just double checked in response to Mr. Greer's. You have seen a previous issue. It was not related to DUI with Mr. Rivas, and you dismissed it.
Okay. So no priors.
Before we vote, Josh, I know we have a second, but would you entertain amending your motion to include 3 hours of ethics?
We're going to see how this goes.
Okay.
No, but I'm looking at Dr. Bastillo, and it may get there. I was kind of excited when you seconded Dr. King, so...
All right, let's call the vote.
Okay, it has, in case 2345, it has Armando Rivas, PTA, it has been moved and seconded to issue a board order to include probation for a period of 6 months with the possibility of early termination after successful completion of the following terms. He'll be issued a decree of censure. He'll be required to take the Arizona jurisprudence exam. And successfully pass it, and a civil penalty of $500. Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes, because I like the fine.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Game day decision there.
Mr. Rivas, the board staff will be in touch with you.
Okay.
Thank you. All righty. So, Judy, do we need to stop and start again?
No, I think we should be okay to continue at this point.
Okay, great. So next on our agenda, we have item number 8, rehearing or reviews, case number 2319. Mark Morelli. Mr. Morelli, are you on the call with us? Mr. Morelli? Did we have any communication with him that he would not be able to join us?
He was invited. And I'm searching to see if we received a response to that invitation.
What agenda item are we? I'm sorry.
We are on number eight. Rehearing, review, discussion.
We did not receive a reply to the invitation.
Okay, thank you. Let the record show that he is not here with us. We'll move on. If he joins us, we can go back to it. Alrighty, so then that puts us at agenda item number 9, complaints and other disciplinary matters. And the first several are initial reviews. So I'm going to go ahead and read the script for initial reviews, and then we'll go through them one at a time.
Doctor, we need to make some kind of a motion to table the Morelli.
I don't think so, because it didn't have a specific time. Mark, can we just move on and then come back to him if he joins us?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. Hopefully he'll jump on, but if not, then we move. And then if he doesn't join us, Mr. Harris, do we have to do anything to... Oh, I think that he may have joined us. Mr. Morelli, are you on the call with us?
No, Dr. King, this is just Flynn Carey. I'm getting set up for the first two on the initial reviews.
Great. Okay, that's where we're going next. Thanks, Mr. Carey. All righty, so we're going to go into initial reviews. I've got a script for anyone who's on the call with us that has not experienced initial review. We're going to kind of walk through what the process is so that you know, then we'll go through them one at a time. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of complaints. There are several initial reviews that we will consider today. The matters to be heard by the board are pursuant to its authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts initial reviews. The summary applies to all cases that we will hear today, so I won't repeat it before each one. The first thing we'll do is introduce ourselves. I'm Dr. Kelly King, and I am the board president. And I'll now ask the rest of the board members to introduce themselves, please. Karen?
Karen Bustillo, vice president, professional member.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Great, thank you. For those participating in the initial reviews, please be aware that we have read all of the materials submitted, and if at any time it's necessary to refer to a patient, please use initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary of the investigative report from its staff. Once the staff is completed, the board will ask the complainant, if they're present, if they'd like to address the board, and then we will also ask the professional. And if they are represented by attorney, please introduce them to address the board as well. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time to repeat information that the board has already received. You will be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report, typically around 5 minutes or so. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or the place for the complainant and the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive behavior. Those violating the policy will be given an opportunity to modify their behavior and then will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary actions such as issuing an advisory letter or an order for continued education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting a professional participate in a formal hearing, an informal hearing, or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. So please speak loudly and only one person at a time. And then for us as board, remember that this is not an informal hearing. If you have questions that will help you better understand the case and take potential action, please do so. However, if you have a number of substantive questions or need additional investigative information, it may be more appropriate to move this case to an informal hearing. So with that, we will move to our first initial review, and that is case 2331, Gaurav Kanhal, PT. Is that who you're with, Mr. Carey?
Yes, Dr. King, members of the board, Flynn Carey and Dr. Kanhal present.
Great, thank you. Mindy, would you please give us an overview of the investigative report?
Yeah, this is case 2131.
Oh.
Kanhal.
It's okay. Please, it's wrong on the agenda.
Okay.
We'll
and then I'd also like to bring to the board's attention that the complainant, Ms. DeBow, is present, and I believe there's an additional witness, Carrie Holcomb, who is representative from a AdvisaCare home care agency. I spoke with him last night, and he was planning to participate. Mr. Holcomb, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you very much. So as a summary, Dr. Kanhal's employer filed a complaint alleging that he'd created false records and billed two patients for a home care visit when he did not treat the patients. Additional investigation revealed that Dr. Kanhal was working for two home health agencies concurrently. And based on substantive interviews and documentation, deficiencies were identified in his clinical assessments and his plans of care. The patient's therapeutic benefit from home health may have been compromised due to shortened visits, and he was providing oversight for a physical therapist assistant under general supervision who did not have the required prerequisite hours. Dr. Kanhal and his attorney received a copy of the duress investigative report and provided a supplemental written response that was included in your review materials as Exhibit 8. In my final review last night, I did note, I want to draw everybody's attention to page 7 of the investigative report because there were two errors that substantively need to be changed to be more accurately reflect my analysis. So if you go to page 7, under ARS 32-2044-20, as it relates to R-424-304, on the third bullet point, it begins, the medical record reviews reveal a pattern where the use of templates creates documentation that appears to be the same and or similar across multiple patients and does not reflect. So the word not should be placed in there. Does not reflect the unique needs of each patient as well as an individualized patient plan of care. And on the final bullet point, the word no should be placed before the word evidence so that it reads, there is no evidence to support that Dr. Kanhal determines on each day of service whether it's appropriate to use assistive personnel. And I apologize for the last minute changes. The potential violations that were cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter or in the practice of the profession. 32-2044-6, failing to supervise assistive personnel, physical therapy students, or interim permit holders in accordance with this chapter and rules adopted pursuant to this chapter, and as it relates to R-424-303-B and D. ARS 32-2044-12, failing to adhere to recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession as it relates to principle 7.1.B. A physical therapist shall never place his or her financial interest above the welfare of patients under his or her care. And finally, ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records as it relates to R-424-303 patient care management and R-424-304 adequate patient records. This case is for your review.
Thank you, Mindy.
Excuse me, Dr. King, one point of clarification. Staff potentially heard the case called as case number 2131. I just wanted to clarify for the record that we are discussing case 2231 or of Kanhal PT.
Thank you.
2231, so it's correct on the agenda.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Kanhal, would you or Mr. Carey like to make a brief opening statement or address the board?
Yes. I wanted to say to the board, I am deeply sorry for my errors relating to the two patients that caused this complaint to be initiated. I've learned a number of lessons from this process, and I've recognized that I needed to make changes to my approach in PT to ensure that the patients get the best possible care. The issues with patients JM and PA were a product of me going too fast and not checking my work. With PA, as my phone records show, I called ahead and left a reminder message, and I did go to the location. My phone records show a number of attempts to reach him as well while I was outside his house. My error was that I used the template to pre-fill information, and I signed off on the encounter instead of catching my error and reporting it as a no-show. With JM, I took someone at their word for who they were, or who they said they were, without checking ID. I've changed that practice for new patients. I provided you the text showing that when the issue with JM came up at the same time, I reported to the owner of the practice that I believed I made an error on another chart. I did this because I realized that I had made a mistake and didn't want someone to improperly lose a visit due to them being on the show. While I made errors with those patients, I hope you will believe me that it was not intentional. And looking back, my biggest mistake was that I was moving too fast and thinking that if I prioritized the hands-on practice of PT, it could make up for the documentation deficiencies. I also rely too heavily on shortcuts, including templates. I understand that documentation is as important as the actual practice, and I recognize the importance of a patient having a complete record. I also understand that when I fill the chart at the level that the board expects, I open myself up to concerns about whether I provided the PT services. This has been a really eye-opening experience for me. I completed about 23 hours of continuing education in a number of areas related to the complaint, and it really has driven home for me the importance of accuracy and completeness of charting and the importance of making sure that all areas of practice are given my attention. I understand that scheduling myself so heavily that I can't meet my documentation obligations is not appropriate, and that this has forced me to reevaluate my workflow and slow down. I'm here today to answer any questions, and it's my hope that the board will allow me a path forward to demonstrate how important the practice PT is for me.
Thank you.
And Dr. King, I have some brief comments, if that's appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. King, members of the board, this is something of a common theme I see in a lot of the boards that I appear before, is that when a practitioner's documentation falls short, it then calls into question what the services provided were. I think we see this in a lot of the boards. If you didn't chart it, it didn't happen. That's sort of the mindset that I think we approach cases a lot of the time. And so I think a real common theme here is that there were some documentation deficiencies and some general sloppiness. And I think it caused the investigator to question what level of care was provided. I think that Dr. Canal has acknowledged that he moved very quickly and that there were errors made in the way he documented. I think he's acknowledged the errors of the two patients who are central to this complaint. And with PA, he did provide the board with proof of attempts to make contact with the patient and also text in which he told the complainant that he thought he had screwed up on this patient when the error with JM was brought up. I think despite the errors, my hope is that the board's focus is to conclude that there wasn't a fraudulent attempt associated with these errors. The two patients for which the complainant complained, those were caught or addressed before they were billed, one found by the owner and one disclosed by Dr. Ganal. And notably, no one was actually charged or billed for the error. I think using terms in the IR like forging a signature, it doesn't really capture what happened here, which is him signing post-COVID or mid-COVID for people and then continuing that practice. In any event, as with many of these items, he has used this investigative process to change his procedures. As for the PTA supervision, I think there's a few items here. One is, and this is something I struggle with on a lot of these cases, is that larger organizations or organizations with some levels of infrastructure, I think I have a question as to whether it's upon the individual PT to be doing essentially an HR function of verifying the number of hours and before allowing that person to go into the field, or if that's more appropriate for akin to what is the responsible PT for the practice. And so I think even if there was an error with the 2,000 hours, I do think he operated in good faith that the PTA that was hired by the practice was able to proceed forward. By way of mitigation, I would note that he did complete 23 hours of continuing education, and he targeted those to the actual issues here. He did 5 hours of ethics, 10 hours of documentation, and 8.5 hours in home health. So he did target his continuing education to very specific areas that Mindy had raised during her investigation. I would encourage the board to question licensee about what he's learned from his education and the number of ways he's changed his practice, both from the continuing education, but also just from the engagements he's had with board staff and investigators through this process. That has been formative for him as well. My hope is that the board will consider, when determining if there are conclusions of law or violations that it wants to find, my hope is that the board is satisfied after today, tacking more towards documentation concerns as opposed to necessarily fraud or what I would consider to be ethics or standard of care violations. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, the board members will ask you questions, if that's okay. So anyone have want to start some questions with Dr. Pinnell?
Dr. King, I'm reviewing the additional allegations stated in the investigative report, and I find them to be meritorious. And so, I'm happy to ask him limited questions, but I think this needs to move to an informal hearing. I have some serious concerns about what happened here that are probably best answered under oath. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to stand in your way of seeing if anyone has any questions, but I'm inclined to move this to an informal hearing and add the additional allegations stated in the investigative report.
Thank you, Mr. Greer. I agree with you. After reading the additional information, I have some significant concerns, so I support that thought. Karen or Mr. Martin, Dr. Lucio?
I too share the concerns of the board. I have substantial concern about methodology of treatment and time of treatment and supervision. And even though Dr. Connell seems to have made some attempt to, remedy some of this, I feel like some of this should have been known going into this position. So I would absolutely support moving this to an informal hearing.
Is that a motion, Dr. Pastillo?
Yes. I move that that we take this case to an informal hearing.
I would second that.
Do we need to incorporate the additional allegations, Mr. Harris, or is that a separate motion?
Yes, my understanding is that the board is moving this to an informal hearing to include all potential violations cited in the investigative report. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Judy, when you're ready, call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to move case 2231 Gaurav Kanal, PT, to an informal hearing to include all of the allegations and potential violations as outlined in the investigative report. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Before we move to the other case, is there any additional investigation that the board would like me to complete as part of a supplemental before you hear it in informal hearing?
Would it be reasonable to request copies of current documentation?
You have done it in the past.
I think if he's still practicing in home health, I'd like to see some documentation that may not necessarily impact the outcome. But within the, not this week, but let's say documentation of patient care in September.
Well, and Dr. King, members of the board, one of the things you may want to consider is asking for documentation that was completed after his continuing education courses.
That would be great.
So, and you want that, how many records would you like me to include?
I think just 3.
Okay. And that's to be sometime after he completed his CEUs?
Yes.
Okay.
And could we just, Dr. King, turn that into a motion, please?
Yep. So I move that we direct staff to attain additional investigative information regarding to include 3 charts for patient care after he had taken the CEUs on documentation in home health.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and second.
It has been moved and seconded to direct staff to further investigate this matter to include 3 charts from patient visits after Dr. Canal has completed his documentation coursework. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
I have a question too for the board, or maybe Mindy. Just in my mind, I'm wondering if what the board thinks about potentially opening a complaint against the PTA who was practicing under general supervision without 2,000 hours. In a home health setting. Is it just me that's concerned about that?
On this one, I actually agree with Mr. Carey in this, and that it really is the agency's responsibility to ensure that the staff that they hire is sufficient for their job. So I don't, well, yes, the PTA does have responsibility in this. I'm very disappointed in the home health agency.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to run that by you. All right. So Mr. Carey and Dr. Canal, the board staff will be in touch with you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And
all right.
Are you opening a complaint? You're not opening a complaint on the PTA then. Okay. Thank you.
No.
Okay. Mr. Thank you.
Mr. Carey, do you need time to get to your next? You're on the agenda next with
Dr. King. If we could have maybe just a 2-minute comfort break, I'll show Dr. Canal out and then I will reset for my next one. So however you wanted to handle that.
Okay. Board members, do you want to take a 2-minute break or do you want me to move to the next? Let's move. How about let's go to, agenda item 9G, David Hoskins. I believe we've received an email that he voluntarily surrendered his PTA chart. Anything we need to do?
I can give you a brief overview. Okay.
And then do we need to take action if he emailed and asked to just surrender his PTA?
I believe there's a potential consent agreement for your consideration.
Okay.
So 2379, David Hoskins is a physical therapist assistant. He was randomly selected for continuing competence following the 2022 renewal cycle. Mm-hmm. Pursuant to AAC R424401, he was required to complete 10 contact hours of continuing competence. He was given a grace period to complete those and he failed to do so. He was contacted by phone on October 6th and confirmed to me that he had not completed any of the CEs required. He stated he had not practiced in Arizona since 2020, and he does have an active PTA certificate. So he renewed in 2022, obviously. That's why he got pulled for the audit. He was notified that a case would be opened and the matter would be brought before the board at the regularly scheduled meeting today. And on 10/27, he notified board staff that he would like to surrender his certificate. The matter's for your review.
All right, is Mr. Hoskins on the call? All right. So if I'm following what we need to do, I'm going to make a motion that we offer Mr. Hoskins a consent agreement to surrender his PTA certificate. And if he does not sign, then we move to a formal hearing.
Second.
Just a point of order. Do we have to have a consent agreement, or can we just accept the surrender if we have a written document from him saying, I want to surrender the license? Mr. Harris?
Yes.
Or Mr. Greer?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's because it's initial review, we can't take someone's license, but I'll defer to Mr. Harris.
No, and because there is this license and there's not a mechanism in which he can just kind of surrender it or turn it in, so the consent agreement is the most expedient way to accomplish that.
Okay. Then that's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second for consent agreement for David Hoskins, PTA. Any other discussion or questions? Okay.
It's been moved and seconded to offer David Hoskins, PTA, a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender of his PTA certificate. If the agreement is not signed, the matter will be remanded for formal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Carey, are you ready?
I am ready, and Dr. Bott is remote, so it looks like we are ready to go if the board is.
Dr. King, if you don't mind, let's do a quick restart of the recording.
Okay.
The recording will stop at 9:56.